Mirrors are in our car because we want to see in all possible directions. We want to know what's behind us or beside us. Mirrors are in the church too, that when you get here, you can fix that few strands of hair that got out of place. The ladies will check their lipstick and men will check their mustaches. They'll go to the mirror to check, how do I appear? That's really what you're asking. How do I appear when you look in the mirror? And it'll tell you the truth. Not like those guys at school that used to play tricks on us. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today we have another message on what is the Bible? Well, it's everything, isn't it? It's our foundation of faith. It is our final word to know how to live by faith and what we are to practice in the Christian life. And so I bid you to stay tuned with us right through the program today as we answer this question, what is the Bible? And there are a few very wonderful analogies that the Bible gives that we can use to answer this question. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. That's our hymn today. And we will also have a few quotes on the very foundation and the nature of the Bible as the living Word of God. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, and it is my joy day by day, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., to bring you the message of God's Word. Stay tuned now as we answer the question, what is the Bible? Another symbol that's used to describe the Bible is that it's a mirror, or as our version calls it, a glass. James 1 and verse 23 describes it this way, that the Bible is a looking glass, or what we would call a mirror. So let's turn to James chapter 1 and verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding himself, his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here's the man that's looking into the word. He's interested, he's hearing, and he's putting it into practice. And that describes the person who used the Bible like a glass or a mirror. Now, if you want to really know yourself and who you are and what you are in the eyes of God, you need the Bible. The Bible is a true mirror. And you know, we use mirrors all the time. Mirrors are everywhere when you think about it. Mirrors are in our homes, in our bathrooms, where we dress, where we comb our hair, where we brush our teeth, where we wash our face. Mirrors are in our car because we want to see in all possible directions. We want to know what's behind us or beside us. Mirrors are in the church too, that when you get here, you can fix that few strands of hair that got out of place. The ladies will check their lipstick and men will check their mustaches. They'll go to the mirror to check, how do I appear? That's really what you're asking. How do I appear when you look in the mirror? And it'll tell you the truth. Not like those guys at school that used to play tricks on us. When you were out at lunchtime and you got all messed up and you didn't have time to go to the washroom to check yourself, or boys didn't care that much anyway, but what did your friends tell you? Oh, you're great. And then you go into that room with a dirty face, and you're just the joke of the class, because they play a trick on you. Let me tell you, the Bible will not play any tricks on you. The Bible will reveal who you really are and how you appear in the eye of God. The mirror is an honest reflection. It will tell you the truth. And as you read this word, it will treat you very honestly. And it will convict you. It will be like the prophet Nathan, who when he stood before David and he told him the story of the ewe lamb, and he said, David, thou art the man. And as you read this book, it convicts. Oh yes, it convicts. It will tell you you have done wrong. It will tell you that your life is out of shape and out of line with God. It will tell you how that inner thought, that wickedness of your heart is corrupting you and destroying you. And it will reveal the ugliness of your heart. Now, just like a mirror, it can show you what is wrong with you, but the Word of God, as the law of God, cannot cleanse you. You don't take the mirror to clean your face. It tells you you need water to wash. And when you come to the Bible, it simply tells you you need cleansing. And then it points you to the Savior, who by His blood and His sacrifice on the cross has the power to cleanse you. And so the mirror points your faults, but it also points you to the Savior who cleanses. And you need to listen to both. There are people in this world and they tell us they don't need a Savior. I don't need to be a Christian. I'm going to live and die as I am and I will be well. But if they were to read the Word of God, it would act as a mirror and show up all their defects, their faults, their sins. And it would reveal to them just how corrupt from head to toe. Isaiah puts it that way, that from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, that we are but open sores, wounds and bruises that are not healed up. They are oozing sores. That's the corruption of man in the eyes of God. And the Bible will be honest with you. As in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us is right to stand before God. And that's why we need a Savior. That's why we need the Lord Jesus. Because the Bible acts as a mirror to reveal our corruption and then point us to the one who can cleanse us, wash us, and make us right. Another symbol for the Bible is a sword. In Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, a sword in our hands, when it's to defend us, is a great asset when it's a defense. But when that sword is piercing you, oh boy, you really feel it. And God makes this word to be a piercing word. Now, if you go to Hebrews 4:12, you will find that it pierces the spirit or the very soul issues. Let me find Hebrews here, just before the book of James, and we're looking at chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. Oh boy, that doesn't sound too nice. That's like the surgeon with his knife in hand, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. There is the keenest piercing, searching that you can ever imagine. We sang today the hymn, Search Me, O God. Oh, the Word of God will search you. This Bible will get right down to the very soul issues. Then it mentions the joints and marrow. There's the bodily issues, the lusts of the heart. You want to know about your thought life. You want to know about your desires. You want to know about those passions that might be burning in your body. The Word of God will pierce. It will search right into that area too. It's like an X-ray of the heart. It exposes every inner issue of your soul, because this is a piercing, searching word. Now, verse 12 should be read along with verse 13. It talks about it being dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. Now, to understand that language, you need to also read verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. There's the x-ray. Everything's open. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him. It's a bit like walking through that x-ray machine at the airport. And you're always concerned. They're going to see everything. You can hide nothing. Once you go in there and put your arms up, there's nothing out of sight. Everything is revealed. Every item of clothing you're wearing, every item you're carrying in your body. And of course, an x-ray can go right through to the very inner being as well. There are some people who work in mines, and when they come out of the mine, they get x-rayed so they don't carry something that they've digested, some diamonds they've swallowed. Can show up the inner things. And that's what the Bible does. That's the power of the Bible. That's why this word will not leave you alone. And if you honestly read the Bible saying, Lord, search me, reveal to me my own state, God will honestly open your heart and reveal your all. It's like looking for that rotten potato in the sack. What do? You just dump them all out, bring them into the light. In the darkness inside the sack, there might be a rotten one hiding. But what do to find the rotten potato? You throw them all out. You just dump them out and you look for the rotten one. God searches the heart. And if you say, Lord, would you tell me my true state? God will speak. God will reveal to you not just that you're a sinner in general, not just that you're a son of Adam, but he'll reveal to you what you watched in television this week, whether it was right or wrong. He'll reveal to you that novel that you're reading. Is it something that's feeding the flesh and the inner passions of your heart? Or your very thought life, the lust of your inner being? The Word of God will search you through and through. Here's the power of the Bible. And that's why this book is very often despised. And men ought to tremble at this word. It will cause us to tremble if we understand the power of God's word to our souls. The Bible's also a hammer. I move into another symbol now. In the book of Jeremiah, we're told, it is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And man's heart is depicted as a rock that is hardened, brittle, stubborn, and resistant to the mind of God and to the will of God. And there is always a need for heart preparation. This is what the Word of God does. It prepares the heart, and it reveals the very things that we need to deal with. Now, what are the things that need to be smashed? You think of the hammer that smashes the rock, and you think of that anvil, and you put the rock on it, and the hammer comes down and smashes the rock. What are the things that need to be smashed within our lives? Well, there's the whole idea of man's pride, that he's good enough, that we're good enough. I can look God in the eye and answer, what's wrong with me? Smash that notion. Man is a guilty sinner in the sight of God. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And the notion that God can be bought with our good works, smash that. Let the hammer fall on that notion too. Or the idea that there is no law of God over man. Well, that's a very prevalent notion today. There is no law of God over me. I am my own king. I make my own laws. I'm free to think, do, act, live, and take the consequences as I please. Smash that. Let the hammer of God's word fall on that notion too. Or there's another notion. I'm not religious, therefore it has nothing to do with me. Have you heard that argument? I'm not a religious person. I'm not a man or a woman of faith, and therefore it has nothing to do with me. I just get on with life and I don't even think about those things. Well, let the hammer of God's word fall on that notion. Because we're all creatures created in God's image. We're all accountable. And this book is going to judge us. If you will not come under its light today or before you die, this is the very word by which God's going to judge you on the judgment day. There'll be nothing new. Oh, we'll understand it a whole lot better, but there'll be nothing new from what's in this book. And this book, it will either judge you now, and you'll get right with God through Christ, through the cross, or you're going to stand with this book condemning you on that eternal day. Then the Bible's also a fire. In that same verse in Jeremiah, is not my word as a fire? Now it is to the reader today, and it will be on the judgment day, a fire. Fire means to purge. Fire means to purify. And fire, well, on the judgment day, this word will be the very thing that will judge. Now, the final symbol I want to mention here today is the word of God is a seed, is a seed. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. And here we have this very language that's used, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, this is the saving word of God. And so this, the power of this book is the power that regenerates. It is through this word, it is through the hearing of the word that faith comes, and hearing by the word of God, and the miracle of germination, the miracle of new life comes into your soul by the power of this word. Now, think of the seed that falls into the cold earth. And we know that the earth has to be at a certain temperature before germination takes place. And the seed will fall into that word. Well, the Bible can be taught to many people. The Bible is taught to many people who grow up in the church. They hear the gospel. They know about Christ. They know there's one way to the Father. But the seed never germinates. They don't become a Christian. They don't receive the word by faith. They never believe. They walk away from it. They turn away. Why? Because the seed has never germinated. But God has promised that he will make his word as a seed, and that by that seed it will come to life. To make the Bible work in your heart and to make it a saving word. Now, I put down in my notes, preach this. Preach this, because this is where the rubber meets the road. Three things. I'm going to be very brief. Read it and receive it as God's word to you. Then it's like seed germinating. If you read it and say, oh, this is just a book. It's just history. It's just literature. No germination, no life. A Christian has heard the voice of God through the word. This is God speaking to me. This is not just the word of man. This is God speaking. Secondly, believe the promises for salvation. Oh, now the seed is germinating. Now the roots are going down. Now there's new life developing because you're taking the promises of God to your own heart. And that's what creates faith. That's what creates repentance to the world and a clinging to God and saying, Lord, save me. And the just shall live by faith. They will cling to the promises of the Bible. And there are many great gospel promises. Come now, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, and though they be as wool, they shall be as wool. There's the cleansing power. And so we take the promises. Thirdly, pray for the life of Christ to be born in your soul. That's the seed sprouting. The life of Christ born in your soul. Then this word is truly a seed. The Bible had never been given, there would be no Christians in the world. Do you know that? You cannot have Christianity without a Bible. There would be no churches. There would be no missionary works. The world would be in darkness. Souls would stumble out into eternity lost without a Savior. Today, the world is a better place because there are millions of souls who have read and believed the Word of God. And this world is filled with hope. Today, do you love the Word of God? Do you take delight in this book? Do you say, this is my foundation for faith? What is the Bible? It's everything. What is the Bible? It's God speaking to you. What is the Bible? It's my claim to be a Christian and to be saved by the grace of God. What time do you take in your Bible? Is it really the most precious word and book in all the world? Have you heard me tell about the story of a homemade keeper and was working for a woman who said she was a Christian? This lady kept her Bible by her bedside, said she was a Christian. And so the maid decided, I'm going to test to see if this lady is a real Christian. And so she hid her Bible. Oh, just didn't take it anywhere, just put it in a secret place. Next day, first thing, she walked in the door, the lady asked, did you see my Bible? She passed the test. I wonder, do you pass the test as a Bible-believing, committed Christian? That this is the book in your life, the Word of the living God. I pray that its power will work in you and its blessing will be upon you. To this man will I look, he that trembleth at my word. Listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us here on the program. And today we just have a little quote from Mr. Spurgeon, who said, I would rather speak 5 words out of this book than 50,000 words of the philosophers. If we want revivals, we must revive our reverence for the Word of God. If we want conversions, we must put more of God's Word into our sermons. God's word is like the wheat in the hand of the mummy, of which you have often heard. It had lain there for thousands of years, but men took it out of the hand and sowed it, and the bearded wheat, which has now become so common in our land, sprang up. So you take a divine promise spoken thousands of years ago, and lo, it is fulfilled to you. it becomes as true to you as if God had spoken it for the first time this very day, and you were the person to whom it was addressed. He also said, be walking Bibles. What great advice. And I trust that in this new year that we will each be in our own areas of life walking Bibles before men. Remember that our Bible is a bloodstained book. The blood of martyrs is on the Bible, the blood of translators and confessors. The doctrines which we preach to you are doctrines that have been baptized in blood. Swords have been drawn to slay the confessors of them, and there is not a truth which has not been sealed by them at the stake or the block, where they have been slain by hundreds. If the whole of us went to prison and to death for the preservation of a single sentence of Scripture, we should be fully satisfied in making such a sacrifice. And one more quote from Mr. Spurgeon. Precious book, I would say of you what David said of Goliath's sword. There is none like that. Give it me. You are marrow and fatness, honey and wine. Yes, manna of angels and water from the rock, Christ Jesus. Of all soul medicines, you are the most potent. Of all mental deities, you are the sweetest. And of all spiritual food, you are the most sustaining. Well, here's good reasons to get to our Bibles and dust them off and start into real earnest Bible reading and Bible study. And one of the best things we can do is just to memorize the Scriptures. Let that word dwell in you richly. And by taking the word verse by verse, memorizing, getting that committed to memory, is a life-changing experience. And you will learn the power, the life-transforming power of the living Word of God. And I trust that you'll do that now at the beginning of this new year. Make it a daily habit to read and memorize the Scriptures. It will indeed transform your life. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.